Good morning. Today's Daf and Dharma, Ayin Hey. We're still here. We're still in the 10th parak of the Masechta. We're going to go over multiple halachas regarding Hafara. Husband has the ability to be mefer the Nidharma of his wife, as is the father is able to be mefer the Nidharma of his daughter. But as we are now well over a week of this discussion, so that is a gross oversimplification of the halachas of Hafara. We finished yesterday. What was a very difficult sugya yesterday in terms of whether or not a Yavam has the ability and the rights to be made for the Nedarma of Ishamar's Yavam. So they are connected. It's a loose connection, but they are connected. In fact, she's not allowed to marry anybody until he does either Yibam or Chalitza. So that connection now creates any kind of Ishus. Does it create any kind of marriage whatsoever in which he could be made for her Nedarma? So that was yesterday's discussion. And I admit that yesterday's discussion was complicated. It was further complicated by the fact that even in the Mishnah, we didn't introduce Maimer into the equation. And meanwhile, the Gemara says that you have to understand that the Mishnah has introduced Maimer into the equation. Good. If you understood everything I just said, good. That means you learned yesterday's daf. If not, so then we can go on. Although I will end off on one point from yesterday's daf, being that we're going to be starting today on the Mishnah. I mean, we finished the whole sugya yesterday. It was really just one sentence, and just in terms of proving that Rabbi Ami's right, that we're talking about where it was not just a Zika, but it was a Zika couple with a Maimer. So we saw a Bryce yesterday that proved that point as well, even though in the Mishnah itself it didn't say that there was a Maimer, but we proved there was in fact. So just conclude with one point, and that is the halacha, meaning can a Yavam be made for the Nedarim of his Yavama? So in the Mishnah there were not one, not two, but three opinions in the Mishnah. And so in the Mishnah we had the positions of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Akiva. So and Rabbi Akiva's position is Lalecha v'Lalishnayim. Not to one, not to two. Meaning it doesn't matter how many Yavams are. There could be one Yavam, there could be two Yavams. It doesn't matter. No, no and no. It can't be made for Nedarim. Now, why would there be a difference between one and two? So this is what we discussed yesterday. Because when there's one Yavam, so therefore we know who the heir apparent is. We know who's left to be doing the mitzvah of Yibam. So therefore you could say that Ezekiel is stronger. Mashenkin, if there are two Yavamim, two Yavams, if you will, so then we don't know which one of them is going to exercise their right to do Yibum. Yes, there is a pecking order, but no, one is not to the exclusion of the other. They both could do it. Obviously, only one of them could do it, but either one of them could do it. And so therefore, you could say under those circumstances, there's a dilution of the Zika. And so therefore, maybe there, the marriage is not that strong. Rabbi Akiva effectively says no. No and no. Meaning, I don't care if it's one Yavam, two Yavam, it doesn't matter. In other words, you can't be made for the neder. Good. And even with Maimer, presumably Rabbi Kiba would still say no. You can't. You can't do it. Now, why not? So that's what the Ron discussed, and I didn't mention this Ron yesterday. But as long as we're here, as long as we're just wrapping up yesterday's discussion, so the Ron says, which of these three positions are we following? So if you want to follow me together inside, I know it's a funny place to start the daf, right in the middle of Ron. But this is just a wrap up of yesterday, and it's well into today's daf. So I feel pretty comfortable starting over here. Ula inyan halacha. So ayin hey amad aleph in the Ran. It is it's the second to last mid-sized line. Ula inyan halacha kamalanka Rabbi Akiva deina mefer lalecha v'lalishnaim. So of the three positions, we're going to follow like Rabbi Akiva. And the Ran points out, now that's a little bit strange, because if you remember the beginning of yesterday's daf, what was the svar that was given to Rabbi Akiva? Ain't Zika. Because even though, again, the Zika concept, which comes up again and again throughout Yavamos, is that Yavam and Yavama, so they're bonded together. They're connected together. She can't marry anybody until he does something, either Yibam or Chalitza. And that's what's called the Zika. Does Zika have any kind of marriage quality to it? That's the question of Yesh Zika or Ain Zika. If you hold Yesh Zika, so there's a marriage quality to it. If you hold Ain Zika, there's no marriage quality to it whatsoever. They are bonded together. They're, so to say, stuck, but there's no Ishus element of that connection. So, what did we learn yesterday's daf? At the beginning of yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Akiva's position is predicated on Ein Zika. So the Ran points out that's a little bit strange. Why? Because that's not how we paskin. Afagav dekai malan ye Zika. So because as per the Gemara in Yavamos, meaning after many Gemaras and many discussions, the conclusion of the Gemara there is Yesh Zika. So now it's a little bit strange, meaning we say Yesh Zika, and meanwhile, what are we going to do over here in our Gemara? We're going to pass on like Rabbi Kiva, that is fundamentally predicated on Ein Zika. So the Ran notes that's strange. So the Ula El Perish in time of the Rabbi Kiva Mishum Desir Lein Zika. Okay, good. So that's a strong question, and the Ran is going to give an answer. And the Ran answers like this. Ika lememar. Yep, I know, says the Ron, but here's what you could say. Yeah, but you know what happened? Post the Mishnah, so in yesterday's daf on the Amud Beis, we brought a brisa. It was a long brisa. It took up almost the totality of yesterday's Amud Beis. And avabasa da isi la hachazina da filosir la rabbi kivi yeshika matzi amr de lo yafel if yisheni yavam akumor lisha shen chayven la skila kanara amarasa. So if you remember how yesterday's daf concluded, what really is this far of Rabbi Akiva? I know we proposed at the beginning of the sugya of ain zika, but that's not it. Meaning Rabbi Akiva really could hold yeshika. And still it's not the same. In other words, you can't compare the relationship between an arus and an arusa to that of a yavam and yavama. Because consider, as the Gemara did yesterday, and this exactly was what was Rabbi Akiva's point. Let's say you have the arusa who's mizana, she commits adultery. So what is she a candidate for? The death penalty. In other words, that is if she's an aram arusa, it's a chayiv skila. If she's just tam, just a regular arusa, so it's a chayiv chenek. Anyway, she's subject to capital punishment. Masha ain't kin to yavama. Yavama who commits adultery, it's not adultery. Meaning it's an iser, it's a lav, but it's not adultery. So in other words, you can't compare the two. Even if there is a marriage quality to the yavam yavama, even if I hold yeshika, it still is not a fair comparison. It's not equivalent to that of marriage of an arus and an arusa. Good. So v'kevim dekalse ben azel rabbi kivav zachin le rabbi lazer rabbi yeshua bedina delo ahadro le midi naktin and kavase. Furthermore, writes the Ran, go back to where yesterday's brisa on the Amud Beis. So a number of things happened on that Amud Beis. Number one, Ben Azai heard the shita of Rabbi Akiva, and remember his commentary? I should have spent more time with Rabbi Akiva, right? In other words, I wish I was Mishamishim more. So already he saw that Ben Azai praised him. And on top of that, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, they did not get the last word in the brisa. In fact, Rabbi Akiva got the last word in the brisa. Okay, so... Right, usually that's why arguments go on and on, because everyone wants to get the last word in. So the and the brisa, so the closing argument was given by Rabbi Akiva. All right, so all indicators would seem to indicate that the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva. All right, so the round over here just went through it just as a recap of yesterday. On top of that, also an interesting discussion of who we follow like and why we follow like Rabbi Akiva. And in other words, there were two svaras provided for Rabbi Akiva. And the Ron, interestingly enough, says that we flipped. Meaning, originally we thought that the svar for Rabbi Akiva was ain't zika. And then the Ron understanding is that the Gemara turned on that. And that really the real svar behind Rabbi Akiva is ain't odome. You can't compare the marriage of an arus arusa to that of a yavam yavama.
We know from Yavama's where Rabbi Akiva's position was zika.
It's interesting. From this Ron, the indication would be that we don't have any outside corroboration. I wish I knew Yavamas well enough to give you a direct answer. Okay. I need to chazer Yavamas. It's an understatement. Okay. Ha'omer le'ishto. Okay, so now we are continuing. We're on 9 Hayam Adalaf. We're starting with the Mishnah. Okay, and this Mishnah we already previewed a couple of times earlier in this Perek. And so now we're no longer previewing the Mishnah. We are learning the Mishnah. Mishnah starts... Sorry, 9 Hayam Adalaf. We're starting with the Mishnah. It's about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Mishnah starts off, Amar Lisha kol andarm shetidari mikana chavo mimakam ploni. Harein kayamim lo amar klum. So I want to put a pre-order in that, look, I'm going away, and whatever, I know you, you're going to make nidarim. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you a gushmanka. I'm going to validate and give the clearance for every neder that you make in advance. Okay? So can you do that? So can you put a pre-order in on kiyum haneder? So the Mishnah says, no, you can't. It's very simple. So lo amar klum, the Mishnah says, harehin, I'm sorry, lo amar klum. So if you try to make a kiyum in anticipation of a neder, it simply doesn't work. However, harehin mufarin, but what if you put in a pre-order of afara? Meaning, as he's going away, I'll be gone for a month, maybe 2 months. And again, chances are you're going to make nedarim. Why do I say that? Because we've been married. I know you. So you're going to make nedarim. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put a cancel order in now on the nedarim you're going to make. So he's pre-ordering now his afara on the nedarim. Does that work? And that, of course, is a machlokas. I say, of course, because we saw this earlier in this perek, and now we get to see it inside in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Mufar, so Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, it works. It absolutely works. And the Chachamim are remaining mufar, and the Chachamim says it does not work. Now, Amr Avlazim Hefer Nadarm Shabbat Lechlal Yisr Lo Yafer Nadarm Shalobal Lechlal Yisr. So now, here in the Mishnah, an argument on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer. Well, actually, Rabbi Eliezer is making the argument. And that is, Hafara in advance has to work. Why? Because consider, how powerful is Hafara? It's so powerful that it could take a netter that already exists, and it can knock it out. So if you have a netter that already exists, meaning the Isser now is here, and meanwhile, Hafara can knock it out. So don't you think it can knock it out in advance? So the Shalom Balachlal Isser. So Amru Lo. So they say to Rabbi Eliezer, no. Harei Amri Yishai Kamenav Yishai Ferenu. Esh Balachlal Hekem Balachlal Hefer. Lo Balachlal Hekem Lo Balachlal Hefer. And the counter-argument of the Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer is that we have a Hekesh. The Torah in the same Pasuk puts together a Hakam and Afara. You agree with us, Rabbi Eliezer, that Hakama cannot be done in anticipation. So once you acknowledge that point, and once the Torah is Mekesh, and equates the two, puts the two in the same pasuk together. So now what are you going to do? Meaning your svara may be a good svara. Who knows? But the Hekesh tells us that whatever's true regarding Hakama is going to be true regarding Hafara. Can Hakama be done in advance? No. Therefore, can Hafara be done in advance? The answer is going to be no as well. Hekesh leads us to that conclusion. Okay, fine. So as far as the Kavachomer is concerned, so let's talk a little bit more about the Kavachomer, and let's understand. Meaning, as far as Hakam is concerned, Rabbi Eliezer acknowledges that it doesn't work in advance. Why? So there's no Kavachomer. So let's just speak it out. Why is there no Kavachomer regarding the Hakama? But regarding the Hafara, so Rabbi Eliezer believes that there's a very good Kavachomer to make. So presumably the answer is as follows. And the Ron speaks like this. You can see the Ron inside. I'm not reading it inside. But the Ron speaks like this. When it comes to Hakama, so what is Hakama? Hakama is basically what I'm going to do now is I'm going to reinforce. Meaning, you take a neder, and what I'm going to do now is that I'm not changing the neder. All I'm doing is just simply saying, you know what? That neder that you made, it's a reinforcement of the neder. Oh. So over there, because the Hakama, meaning when the neder is there, what is the Hakama doing to the neder? Effectively nothing. Meaning the neder doesn't change. You're not making anything new with the Hakama. All you're just simply doing is saying, you know what? Good. So in other words, so just because you can do a Hakama post neder is not going to indicate anything about the Hakama that's done before the neder. Meaning the Hakama didn't do anything radical when the neder's here. So there's no way that the Hakama now can work in advance when the neder's not even here yet. But when it comes to Hafara, consider. In other words, Hafara is a neder changer. In other words, what Hafara can do now is they can take a neder, which is an Isser. An Isser that was created by the Noder, and now it can do it, and it can undo the Neder. Oh. So in other words, so now Hafara has the ability to undo a Neder, and one that's already here, so therefore, what we can now do is take that very same Hafara and just simply put it on the front end. In other words, if it could change a Neder that exists already, so for sure it could change a Neder that is yet to exist. That's basically why it is that the Kal Vachomer for Rabbi Eliezer would work by Hafara, but wouldn't work by Hakama. Good. And obviously, the Chachamim seem, meaning what I'm saying is speculative, but I think it's right, and that is that the Chachamim, in theory, agree with the Kal Vachomer, but the Hekesh tells us otherwise. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that now we have a Hekesh, now what do we say normally by Hekesh? Ein Meshivin ala Hekesh. Meaning, once you have a Hekesh, that's it. In other words, conversation over. Nothing to say. You can't challenge a Hekesh. A Hekesh is one of the strongest limudim. You know, it's funny, the Hekesh is not one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes by him, right? So, and it's not the only drasha that's not in the Yud Gimel Midos, right? Yud Gimel Midos is strange. It's a list of various ways in which we're going to darshan the Torah. So is it exhaustive? Not at all, right? We know it's not exhaustive, right? Ribuyim, Miyutim, meaning there are many popular drashas that come out throughout Shas, and they're not one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes by him. But oddly enough, interestingly enough, Hekesh, which is one of the strongest drushas, right? A meshivin ala Hekesh. You don't challenge a Hekesh, and meanwhile, it's not one of the Yugim Mamidah Shatarni drushas, man. So presumably, I've heard this before, and I don't know who to assign credit to, so forgive me, but I've heard this before. Hekesh is not a limud. What is Hekesh? It's a beferish pasuk, meaning it's basically the Torah saying, meaning I'm just reading the Torah, and by virtue of the fact that I have these two concepts in the same pasuk, it's not a drusha, it's basically, this is it. It's right? It's basically Pashut Pshat in the Pesukim. Okay, I'm not sure. In other words, there are other drushas that didn't make it into the Yugam Amida, so I'm not sure if this is the only way you could say it, but it's certainly something to think about. Anyway, so the Chachamim in theory agree with the Kal Vachomer, but the Hekesh would indicate otherwise.
Rabbi Sugarman?
Yes.
Why was it so Pashut that you can't pre-make them? That seems to be a given position. Why was it so Pashut?
So I tried to pre-make them. Yes, I tried to explain that Hakama doesn't do anything. Hakama is just simply a reinforcement of the neder, but it's not changing the neder. So as opposed to Afara, which is mamish overturning a neder, so there, if it can overturn a neder that's here, it can overturn a neder that's in advance. But Masha Enkin, when it comes to Hakama, nah, Hakama didn't do anything even when the neder's here. It just substantiated the neder, validated a neder that already exists. Okay. That seems to be the pshat. So the Gemara now, lumdus, a lot of lumdus here in this 10th parak. Okay? So the Gemara wants to know is as follows. Look, let's right now focus on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. There can be a pre-order hafara put into a neder, so you could put the hafara in before the neder is actually made. And what's going to do now is that once the hafara is there, said, so now when she makes a neder at a later point in time, at T2, so the hafara now is going to upend the neder. Good. That's Rabbi Eliezer. That part's easy. Now here comes the lamdus. So what does that mean? Does it mean the two very simple possibilities? Number one, the neder existed for a moment, and then the hafara knocked it out. Alternatively, number two, the hafara just never took place. In other words, now that the hafara is set there in advance, so what the hafara now does is that it blocks the neder altogether. Okay, good. So that's lamdus. And it's very easy to say over lamdus. What's the nafkamina? What would be the practical difference? Meaning in both circumstances, the neder is knocked out. That's Gemara's next point. So lamai nafkamina, the Gemara now wants to know. So what would be the nafkamina? What's the practical difference between the two? Answers the Gemara. We're on the Amud Beis. Although hold the daf, because we're going to go right back to the Amud Alf in just a moment. So the, so kigon dafisa, Achrina ba'adei nidra. So the Gemara says, let's say the following were to happen, and that is somebody makes a hatfasa. Okay, so this takes us back to the beginning of the Masechta. Let's remind each other. Now, the way I can make a neder is I could just simply articulate, here's what I'm taking upon myself, or I could just simply mimic. In other words, there's a neder there. So what I'm going to do now is that basically hatfasa. I'm going to do like that, right? Somebody became a nazir. I'm going to be like that person. Va'ani. Right, pointing to an individual who just took upon himself to be a nazir. So that's what's called in halacha atfasa, and atfasa is a valid way to make an eder. Good. So now with that stated, so over here that's going to be the nafkamina, meaning if the pre-hafara knocks out the neder in total, totally preventing the neder from coming at all, so now there was no neder, not even for a moment, and now I want to do a hatfasa. I did a hatfasa, nothing. Therefore, hatfasa doesn't work. Masha Enkein, if there is a neder just for a moment, so now I want to be matfis, I can be matfis, because there was a neder there for just a moment. Good. Kagon da'atfis achrin bahad de nidra. So Iyamar, the Gemara spells this out. Iyamar chalin havit fisusa. So if there's chalos, if it takes effect even for just a moment, so good, there's a hatfasa. And Iyamar lo chalin, so lo ikam ashasha. So if there's no chalos whatsoever, so then your hatfasa didn't do anything. So the Gemara says, so nu, what's going to be according to Rabbi Eliezer? When you set in a hafara before the neder is being made, how exactly is the hafara going to knock it out from the beginning, or it allow it to take place for a moment and then knock it out? Okay, I think, in other words, the Ran doesn't say this, but I'm just thinking out loud, and you can dismiss. But I think it may also fit into how well you understand the Kal Vachomer, Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer says, how is it that the hafara can work in advance? Kal Vachomer. And what's a Kal Vachomer? Well, if it can knock it out when it's there, it for sure should be able to knock it out in advance. Okay, so in other words, so you have to, and I don't have it worked out yet, but you have to work out the logic in terms of how exactly the logic of Rabbi Eliezer works. And probably if you fine-tune the logic of Rabbi Eliezer, you'll see whether... it has the neder by definition has to take on for a moment, take effect for a moment and then get knocked out by the afara, or mamish it knocks it out altogether. We're going to go back to the Amud Aleph for just a moment, and that is the Ran. The Ran asks a couple of questions, and I'm going to go over the second question of the Ran. A lot of interesting things here in this Ran. The Umakshasu. So if you want to find me together in the Ran, I'm going over a second question over here. 2, 4, 6 lines from the bottom. Okay, 5 lines from the bottom. Beginning of the line. Umakshasu hachav nihi dechalat fasa mai havi. Name it the kevin da'atis ba ki ifto nidre kama ifto namihai. So the Ran says, well, let's get this straight. So this woman made a neder. Her husband put in a hafara in advance. So that means, and we're at least according to one side of the chakira, we're suggesting that for a moment it's going to take effect. Okay. It's going to take effect for a moment, but you know what's going to happen a moment later? The hafara is going to knock it out. And what did you do? You were matfis, which basically means that you mimicked that neder. Oh. So if you mimicked that neder, so you know what you mimicked? Not only the taking on of the neder, but you've taken on the afara as well. And so the Ran wants to know over here, so if we're really talking about adfasa, so why don't we say that you took on the neder and you took on the afara as well? Right. Right, so good. So the Ran doesn't say this. I know other Rishonim say this. So some suggest that maybe you did a tochidei dibor. Okay, but you're right. In other words, for that moment, in the first question of the Ran, which I didn't go through over here, the Ran is kind of struggling with your point. He says it a little bit differently. He compares it to a gemara earlier in the Masechta. Anyway, okay, the question's good. So the name of Kevin did first by ifto nidra kama ifto nami hai de dina de matfis hachi who kidinan beperek mishamar. In fact, the Gemara Nazir Harini Nazir v'shamah chaver v'amar vani kulan nazir sotar echemem hutra kulan. And now look, it's a Gemara Nazir, and God willing, we're going to get to it in a short amount of time. We have approximately 2 more weeks of our Masechta, then we head into Nazir. And this is Daf Chaf, so okay, fine, 5 weeks from now. Okay, approximately. So in 5 weeks from now, so we're going to see the following case. Person becomes a Nazir, and I'm Matvis. And what does he do? And by me being Matvis, I'm basically saying, him, I'll have what he's ordering. Right? He wants to be Nazir? Me too. And then what happens is that he gets a Heter. He goes to a Chacham. There's a Pesach. He gets a Heter. So what happens now is that once he's Matir, and since I got what he got, so in other words, with his heter comes my heter as well. Hutra echad me'em, hutra kulan. Good. So over here, why don't we say the same thing? Yeah. So ulal nami beperek dal nedarim amar debe shetal zeb zeh hutra rishon hutra kulan. And oh, by the way, there are notes that in our masechta as well, not once but twice in our masechta, we also spoke to this idea as well. Okay. So how come over here with your hatfasa? So why don't you also get the atfasa and the hafara as well? So the reason why I'm going over this question and answer is because the answer is fundamental and it's whatever. It's just a basic understanding of hafara versus hatara. V'lav kushi iklal. Delo itmar hutar echameem hutra kulan ela beheter chacham sha'oker haneder miikaro. So the Ran says that when it comes to heter chacham, so you know what heter chacham does? So it upsets it, it uproots it, meikaro. From its point of origination. When you go to a chacham and you ask for shelas chacham and he gives it to you and he's mati you from that neder, so that means that he absolves the neder altogether, he expunges the neder. No neder to speak about whatsoever, not even mikaro. And that means now when then someone is matfis and says, you know what, I'm having what he's having, well, you know what he had after hatara? He had zero. In other words, his neder was totally expunged. Therefore, if you're connecting to that neder, so you know what happens to your neder too gets expunged. Okay, good. Hilka kosher hutar echemahem igla milsa shalaya kan neder meolam. Uvat la hatfasa de basra. Ava baal she'ein o okil amafreya el amikan u lehaba. But that's not how hafara works, writes the Ran. So the way hafara works is mikan u lehaba, meaning from the point hafara going forward. Hafara is not retroactive. Hafara is a power invested in, again, either the father or the husband, depending on who's got the bailus. but it's a power invested in, right now I'll just say the husband. It's a power invested in the husband that, you know what, you made a neder, and at least while from the point that you made the neder to now, the neder was in effect. Now that's it. I'm breaking the neder, but not retroactively. Oh. So it comes out now that there's a really fundamental difference between Hatara and Hafara. Hatara is Lamafreya, and Hafara is only Mikana Laba. And good. And that now is going to answer our question. Meaning, so now you are matfis to this woman who took on a neder for a moment. Aye, now the hafara kicks in. Your neder should also be absolved as well. Nope. Because you are matfis to the neder. Aye, what about the hafara? Hafara is only from that point going forward. You weren't connecting to that point going forward. You were connecting to the neder that she made. Okay, good. Anyway, so it really speaks to a fundamental difference between Afar and Atara. That's why I went over the Ron. Okay?
It's not really the same. She knew that the husband was made for it before. When the other guy said Vani, he doesn't know about the Afar. He only has in mind on the matter that he hears from her.
Right.
So therefore, maybe the Afar is not Karen.
You see the cases being different altogether.
Right.
Okay. Fine. The Ron sees it similar, and the Ron uses it as an opportunity to speak out this fundamental difference between Afar and Atar. Okay. Tashma.
This is a major question on the Gemara. Why don't you say Nafkamina if she's over her neder, Bishas,
right,
before the Afar?
Right. So even the Gemara's proposal that the neder takes place, it's for a moment. So I guess, but I guess within that moment, she could be, right, she could violate it, I suppose. Okay, fair. And that would be, and that's also a simple nafkamina. Right, okay. Tashma. So what we're going to do today is two rounds. In other words, really, the Gemara is going to go three rounds on this, but we're going to stop. And as you can see in tomorrow's stop, these stopping are really short. So we're just going to go two rounds today. Round number one. Tashma amar Rebbe Elazar mefer nedarim shebal lechlal iser lo yafer nedarim. Okay, so basically what we're doing now is that we're dunning on the Svara of Rabbi Eliezer. We're not dunning on it. We're just looking at it in order to be medayik in the Lashon. And he writes back in the Mishnah that if a neder if the Afara could be made for a neder that already exists, so lo yafer nedarim shelo bal lechlal iser. So in other words, just the language of Rabbi Eliezer would certainly indicate that what happens with that hafar in advance doesn't allow for the neder to take place at all. So, shema mina, lo chalon. Okay, so I'm just reading the Mishnah, and I'm just using the wording of the Mishnah. Gemara says, mikitani, einan bayin, lo ba'u kitani. So the, adain lo ba'u. The Gemara says you don't have to read the Mishnah that way. The only point the Mishnah is making is that there's a hafara after the nedra's been made, and there's a hafara before the nedra's being made. That's the only point the Mishnah's making. If a hafara after the nedra's being made, if that can go ahead and knock out the nedra, then for sure the hafara before the nedra was being made. But when the nedra's actually made, so there'll be a chalos, it'll take effect for a moment. Okay. You could read the Mishnah like that. Granted, by the way, it's not Pashup Shah in the Mishnah, but you could read it like that and shine. And so therefore, we don't have proof one way or another in terms according to Rabbi Elazar. Is there going to be a moment where the neder is going to be chal? Round two. Attempt number two. Tashma. Amalem Rabbi Elazar ma makom shein mefer nidre atzmo mishenadar. Mefer nidre atzmo achelo yidar. Makom she mefer nidre ishto mishetadar eno din shiafer nidre ishto achelo tidar. Okay. So over here now, this is a braisa. Now, in this braisa, once again, Rabbi Elazar is trying to make his case, he's trying to prove his point. Now, what Rabbi Elazar is over here citing is something that we learned earlier in the Masechta. We're going back to Daf Chav Gimel. Okay, if you remember. If I remember. So back in Daf Chav Gimel, so what did we talk about? We talked about a moda. That what you could do is that you could basically say, I'm about to make a neder, don't take my neder seriously. Okay? Right, and you remember, by the way, back on Chav Gimel, so we had a discussion. The Ron had a lengthy discussion. In terms of Minhag Klal, you saw the Yom Kippur, what do? So we make a moda, right? Again, the Rishonim are not perfectly clear about it. It is the Shita Rabbeinu Tam that the moda is for the upcoming year. It's not for the previous year, it's for the upcoming year. Okay, the nusach of the Kol Nidre is going to be totally affected and informed by which of the Rishonim you follow. Anyway, this is not a discussion about Kol Nidre, although Kol Nidre obviously comes out from this. But it is a basic discussion regarding making a modah. So in advance, you could say, I'm going to make a neder, ignore. Disqualify the neder I'm going to make. And by the way, you could do modahs in other areas of halacha. We're not going to get into that right now. But in other words, you could do that. So now, Rabbi Elazar says the following, Tashma. Amalem Rabbi Elazar, ma b'makom she'ein mefer nidre atzma mishinadar, mefer nidre atzma achalo yidor. So now, knowing that, so Rabbi Elazar says, look, I'm gonna make another argument that's gonna lead to my conclusion. Again, the conclusion of Rabbi Elazar is you can do an hafar in advance. Good. So look, I can do a hafar to my own neder. Now it's not, of course it's not a hafara, right? In other words, the word hafara over there is a little bit strange, but I can knock out my own neder. How can I knock out my own neder? By putting in a modan in the beginning. A disclaimer, right? The disclaimer. I'm going to make a neder. Don't take me seriously. Legally, you could do that. Now, can you put in the moda after you made the neder? The answer is unequivocally no. Of course you can't. In other words, once the neder is there, the only way you could be released by your neder is a chacham. Somebody else, not you. So, makom shemefer nidre ishto misha tidor eino din shiafer nidre ishto achalo tidor. And so now Rabbi Elazar says, you see, now watch this. Now in the world of hafara, so can the husband be made for his wife's nedarim afterwards? Yes. Oh. So if moda works before but not after, so now take hafara, if it works after, for sure should be able to work before. Okay. Now I understand, by the way, where we seem to be comparing apples and oranges. We're comparing moda to hafara. But anyway, but what comes out over here is that Rabbi Elazar does make that comparison, uses that comparison to reinforce his argument that hafara can be done in advance. Now, whether you like the comparison or not is not the point over here. What is the point? How does a modah work? When you put a modah for your own neder, does that mean that your neder takes effect for a moment and then the modah knocks it out? Of course not. In other words, if the neder were to take place for just a moment, so you know what happens? You now are in a neder. Your own modah cannot extricate you from your own neder. The way that modah has to work, and the only way it could work, is that if it blocks it altogether. It's a blocker. Right. So, my love, ishto, dum yedilei. So the Gemara says, exactly. So in other words, your wife neder should be no different than your ability to be made for your wife's neder should be no different than your ability to modah. That's right, I verbed it. So to modal your own neder. So mahu de lo chaylin, afisho nami de lo chaylin. So your modal only is going to be serving as a blocker. It's the only way we could properly view the modal. So if that's true regarding your modal, so for sure, when Rabbi Elazar says, and the same thing is true regarding hafaras neder ishto, so it's got to be the same thing. It's there as a blocker. Nah. So the Gemara says, lo hakadisa v'hakadisa. So the Gemara says, nah. In other words, I know Rabbi Elazar is comparing, but at the same time, he understands they're not exactly the same. The comparison is just there as a way of exploring what could be done in advance. But Rabbi Elazar recognizes, I'm not comparing hafara to hafara. I'm comparing modah to hafara. I get it. But still, even within the comparison, which is not a perfect comparison, but still, if modah can be done in advance, but not afterwards, and hafar could be done even afterwards, then for sure hafar could be done in advance. Good. That's the argument. But even within the argument of Rabbi Elazar, he's acknowledging they're not exactly the same. Modah blocks it. Hafara may take effect for a moment, but then the hafara comes in and knocks it out. Okay. So Adkan, so the Gemara at this point in time has no resolution on how Rabbi Elazar works. Now, by the way, we just spent the entire Amud Beis going over the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, generally speaking, Rabbi Elazar takes a position. It's not accepted la halacha, especially considering in our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Elazar against the Chachamim. So we're going to follow the Rabbim in general. Certainly, Rabbi Elazar's position, which is not normally followed as halacha, is going to not be followed over here, but still, Torahi. In other words, still, it's part and parcel of Torah. Keep in mind, just in the course of the discussion, we went through the Ran, the fundamental difference between Hafar and Hatara. Hatara is Lamafreya, Hafar is not Lamafreya, Hafar is only Mikan Laba. So in other words, there's a lot of just basic points that we gleaned from this whole discussion, even though the Gemara is having an entire discussion dedicated to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Let's quickly recap and let's review. Okay, so I just did a quick summary of yesterday's daf in the beginning. And really what we did is I just went over the run, which I didn't go over yesterday, in terms of the three positions in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva, which one do we follow? So the Ron says that we follow like Rabbi Akiva. Noting, however, that there were two svaras given for Rabbi Akiva, and don't follow the first svara. The first svara of Rabbi Akiva is Ein Zika. That's not a svara you should follow. Why? Because the Gemara in Yavamos concludes Yesh Zika. So really what you should be following is the second svara of Rabbi Akiva, that which was provided in the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf. Good. That was that's the Ron, that's how we opened up. And then what do we do today? A very basic machlokas between the Tanayim, whether hafara can be done in advance. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, Chachamim say no. What's the svara behind Rabbi Eliezer? So we got treated to multiple svaras of Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, that one way or another, he tries to do using a kavachomer. We saw a kavachomer in the Mishnah. We saw a second kavachomer later in the daf. But basically, he tries to argue it using some sort of logic, some sort of argumentation. And then what was the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Eliezer? A hekesh. Meaning, I have Ishayi Kemenu, Ishayi Ferenu. You and I agree, Rabbi Eliezer, that Hakama cannot be done in advance. If Hakama can't be done in advance, neither can Afara as well. You have your Kavachomer, I'm happy. But in other words, but the Hekesh is going to trump the Kavachomer. That seems to be the back and forth in the Mishnah. And then what we discuss for the remainder of today's daf is Lamdus. Within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, where Hafara could be placed in advance, so how exactly is that working? Is it blocking the neder altogether? Or no? The neder will take effect for a moment, and then the hafara in advance is now going to knock out the neder momentarily after it took place for just a moment. Lamai nafkamina, somebody else wants to do atfasa. So somebody else wants to do atfasa, so does it work? According to the blocking theory, of course it doesn't work. And according to the second position, it's there for a moment, so then somebody could do atfasa. Good. We went through the round this morning in terms of the difference between hafara and hatara. Hatara is lamafre, hafara is only mikan lahaba. It's good in terms of understanding why here, when somebody does hatfasa, so why doesn't he also get the hafara as well? Meaning if the person says, I want to be like her, well, she made an edder, but also was knocked out. So why then doesn't the bal hamatfis, why doesn't he get the same thing as well? And so the Ron says, because when it comes to nedarim, it's hafara is mikan lahaba. So, and as opposed to hatara, which is lamafreya. Totally uproots it. Good. And on the Amud Beis, a couple of rounds of trying to see which is the better way to understand Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara at this point in time left it inconclusive.